This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
On Money Talks, we discuss money news and take your questions about personal finance. For 15 years, we've provided free financial information for Mississippians. I hope you can join me, Dr. Nancy Lottridge-Anderson, co-host of Money Talks, Tuesdays at 9 a.m. or anytime on our podcast.
From MPB Think Radio, this is Fix It 101, the home improvement show to help you do it yourself. I'm Lacey Alexander here with my friends Pam Pybus, ASHI Certified Inspector from Inspect It Like a Girl, and Jeff Salmons from Houseworks. We talk a lot about repairs and maintenance on the show, but we want to dedicate this episode to adding on, whether that's adding more space, adding new appliances, or adding more flair to your outdoor areas. Is it smart to build onto an older home? When is it safe to expand a deck, and when should you just start over? And as always, we'll be taking whatever questions you have for our experts. You can send an email to fixit101@mpbonline.org. Good morning, Jeff and Pam.
Morning.
Good morning.
Quick question to get us started. A lot of people will add extra rooms or extra space or expand a room onto an older home. Is this a good or a bad idea?
I mean, there's so many variables. It depends. Yeah, it's just
now,
money.
Well, yeah, right, and this is my rule of thumb. First thing I ask my clients, are you planning on staying?
Mm-hmm.
If the answer is yes, then let's move to the next questions. Is the house in good shape? Is the neighborhood sustainable?
Mm-hmm.
Can you put, you know, $150,000 in this house and still be able to sell this house without overbuilding the neighborhood?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of variables in this decision. And a lot of times you can't make that decision without bringing someone like me in, bring someone like Pam, bring your designer in, your interior decorator. There's a lot of people that will help you make that decision.
Mm. Yeah, you got to do your fact finding.
That's right.
And just decide, you know, make the decision about what you want to do. I see a lot of additions on super old properties, you
I
know,
do too.
50, 60,
yep.
70 years old, and they'll come in. I did one this last week where it was, and we were just talking about it before the show, a solid poured concrete foundation that was a raised foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And they came in and added a slab on the backside. It gave them a basement and then a laundry room.
And it worked?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's fine. They had to, and it was interesting, Jeff, they left an expansion joint between the two, which I thought
good.
Was really smart. Because when you start adding foundations, you know, multiple foundations together, there's going to be some movement. They'll just move differently.
Well, those two pieces of concrete move independently,
mm-hmm.
and they move differently.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we do a lot of attic.
You're going up.
We do a lot of attic build outs under one condition. Was the foundation designed for a second story?
Mm.
And it's real easy to you know, determine that. Was the house designed with a staircase? Was the house designed with a bonus room and you just elected not to finish it? Absolutely. Was the house designed to be a one story? I'm not going to do the attic build out because the foundation was not designed to support the load.
Mm. Right. And your joists are not.
That's right.
Your ceiling joists aren't floor joists. Ceiling joists.
There are so many things at that point we need to discuss. Instead of going up, let's go out.
Mm. It's not like The Sims where you just add a staircase in the middle of the building. It's not that easy.
No, and it's not HGTV easy either.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Some of these TV shows where they're showing that. Jeff had, and I had that experience on my kitchen update.
That's right.
You know, he came in and we were part of a reality show. And gosh, how long has that been? It's over 10 years now.
Yeah, I think my oldest at that point was, he was still in high school.
Yeah. I think it was like 2012 or
probably,
11 or
probably.
Somewhere in there. And,
yeah.
You know, I mean, a one day, it just, there's a lot. It's just
that,
a lot.
I remember that evening went into about 10 o'clock that night.
It was, yeah. Yeah, y'all kept calling us and say, you know, we thought the reveal was going to be at 6, and I don't think we did it till about 11 o'clock
that night.
Well,
it started raining.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was tough.
It was tough. It was hard. So, you know, and I say this on new construction, if you're going to hire a builder to build a house, but I'm going to say it big time, if you're going to remodel and hire somebody to come in to do that, go ahead and get your marriage therapist, because let me tell you, it is stressful.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
It's very stressful.
I feel like we talk about divorces once every show.
Yeah.
Now.
Well, you know, unfortunately, that's the reality sometimes. And then the house is your biggest asset.
Yeah,
so.
just the process of doing a home remodel / addition, mm-hmm. just that process is stressful.
Yeah.
It's dirty. It's loud. Your home is turned upside down. The toothpaste isn't over here anymore.
Mm-mm.
You don't know where it is. It's somewhere in this house.
Yeah.
Kids are running. We just finished a big addition for my daughter, and my goodness, it was tough.
Yeah. And part of your home is like exposed to the elements while you're out
building.
That's crazy.
The sawdust.
There's a squirrel in the kitchen.
Yes.
Well, between the sawdust and the sheetrock dust.
Mm. Now, how many people have we talked out of the addition?
I know. Yeah, really? I'm rethinking that.
Now, okay, let's reel it back in for a minute. And I use this saying all the time: you have to break some eggs to make an omelet.
Mm.
So the end result, this marriage that we're talking about, is only going to last a period of time. You know, 3 months, 6 months, and then we're going to have a friendly divorce. We're going to pay. Everybody's got to be paid. We're going to hug, and we're going to say, if you need me, call me. Enjoy your brand new room addition.
Yeah.
And life's back to normal, and you did that 3 to 6 month road bump, if you will.
I would say, yeah, and that's a good point. Just go ahead and plan to be out, you know, that amount of time. And if you're going to hire somebody, just make sure that you've got contracts, everybody's got on the same page, you know, this is what we're going to do. And then, you know, one of the reasons, and I watched my father build houses for years, and one of the reasons, and I have a contractor's license, I mean, I've been licensed since 2004. One of the reasons I don't build houses is that I don't have the disposition for the change order.
Yeah.
How many change orders do you, I mean,
yep.
You'd be right in the middle of the project and they go, well, now I'm thinking I really want to.
Or I don't want to spend this money. Too bad.
Yeah.
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 So that's a good segue into another question I had. Like, talk to me about wall demolition. Should you decide to expand a living room or a bedroom? What's wall tear down 101?
Well, you better make sure what's holding up the ceiling first, you know, in your roof.
Right.
My poor granddaddy, he tore down a wall, and then he had a big old beam on his ceiling for the rest of that house.
Yeah, well, it's good he had the beam, because if he hadn't had the beam, he'd have the roof in his den.
Yeah, and, you know, it's pretty simple. Is this a load-bearing wall?
Sure.
It's pretty simple to figure that out. If you go up in your attic and you have ceiling joists killing into that wall, meaning I've got a ceiling joist running from the outside wall into this interior wall, and it breaks right there, then that is resting on that wall.
Mm.
So that would be a load-bearing wall.
Mm-hmm.
If it goes all the way across, it is probably not a load-bearing wall. Now, with that being said, don't go up there and say, oh, Jeff said if it, bam, bam, and next thing you know, my ceiling fell in. Get a qualified licensed contractor to look at it. But if you're just curious, go up in your attic and be careful.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
gotcha.
You can kind of tell. And just so folks will know, the joist is a piece of timber. It's a piece of wood. It's usually a ceiling joist. It's 2x10. Over your garage,
depending on the span,
an 8,
right,
yeah,
right,
depending
right.
on your span. So you've got a piece of timber that runs from one side of the roof to the other side of the roof. It's flat, and it's what you screw your sheetrock into for your ceiling, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Those things aren't just to screw the sheetrock in.
No.
They hold the roof up.
Hold the roof and hold the walls
and
up.
Hold the walls up.
I'm so glad I have you two. I'd just be swinging a hammer without thinking. We have our first phone call this morning. Lauren in Natchez has calling in, and she has a comment about Cost Plus. Lauren, you are on the air this morning. How's it going?
It's going pretty good.
Good.
Beautiful day outside.
There you go.
Isn't it, though? I love Natchez.
Mm-hmm. Last week, you talked some about Cost Plus, and I was half listening because I'd never done that, never heard of it.
Okay.
Well, lo and behold, within hours, the contractor wants to do Cost Plus. And this is for floor joists. We got a sister in all the floor joists. Put down subfloor, you know, that kind of thing.
Yes, ma'am.
And he wants to do Cost Plus 50%. And I don't know if that's high. It seemed like I heard y'all saying something about 35 was pretty normal. So I'm just calling to get a little clarification on what's a usual Cost Plus scenario.
You know, I never enjoy trying to price someone else's work, all right? A cost plus 50% to me sounds high, but let's run this scenario. Is he using all of his own people? Is it cost, his labor cost plus 50% includes his administrative cost, his insurance, blah, blah, blah. There's so many factors.
Well, and let me make a point on this too, Jeff, because what I heard you say, Lauren, was that you're coming back in with floor joists that have to be sistered. Okay, now you're talking about a crawl space.
Yep.
How much access do I have? That is, let me tell you something, folks.
Oh, I've already got the subfloor out. I'm standing on dirt in there.
Okay.
Yeah, if it's an easy access, I think that's a little high. If it's a tough access in your work, because I did an inspection the other day where I was underneath the house over in a neighborhood here in Jackson, and it was actually, the work was pretty awesome. There were a few areas that were a little questionable to me, but the access down there was fantastic. There was no ductwork. It was about 4 feet up.
Yeah.
So getting in and around down there was easy.
Yeah. I enjoy Cost Plus. I really do. I think it is the most fair and equitable way for both contractor and homeowner.
Okay.
Think about it this way. Your surgeon is Cost Plus, if you think about it. Is he not?
I don't know. I've never asked.
Well, I mean, if a surgeon opens you up and sees something wrong and it takes longer than what he anticipated, he's going to charge you for that. The contractor's same way. They have to open up your house, and if there's more down there, because we're not Superman, we cannot see through walls and doors and all that stuff. So I like a cost plus. I think it's very fair. The 50% to me is a little strong.
Well, it is to me too. I've already got most of the subfloor out except for right under the wall. And he said he'll take a oscillating tool and go in and cut the nails and then pull all the boards out. Most of them were so rotten. I mean, I went through the floor at least once. So we've got to get that out from around the walls. But other than that, it's about 2.5 feet off the ground. Like I say, I'm walking on it because I took most of the flooring out.
Now, did you do the work yourself?
Taking out the subfloor?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
Whoa.
Yes, there wasn't much to it. Just mostly handwork.
Yeah,
to pull it out. I think that's a little high on a. I would go back and try to negotiate that or get me a second opinion.
Yeah. But again, I hate to price somebody's work because, I don't know what the contractor's basing his cost on or her.
Well, as far as the way I understand it, I will pay for all the materials.
Yep.
And he does the work for the cost of the materials plus 50%. So if I spend $1,000 on materials, I will pay him $1,500 to do the work.
Okay.
Is that correct?
I think that's not the way I understood. That's not the way I do Cost Plus. But if that's what you're doing, I think that is very fair, probably more than fair.
Okay, because he's licensed. He's got his insurance and all that. So
yeah. I like that. I don't have a problem.
Pay him for labor.
Yes, ma'am. No.
Okay.
Labor's 50% of material. I do it all day.
Okay, well, I got to pay for, the labor, too. I mean, I have to pay for the materials.
That's right.
But I have to also pay him that same price for the material. So if my materials cost me $1,000, his final payment for using those materials will be $1,500.
Okay, after you bought the $1,000 in material.
Right. So it would cost me $2,500.
Cost you $2,500. Okay. Okay.
Right. So, does that sound reasonable at all?
Probably. Probably. It's not easy what they're doing.
I think at the end of the day, you know, it's not something easy. This
contractor is licensed, so yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I think I got a good feel.
And I also have a good reference.
Carry on. Get your floor fixed and get back to regular life.
Thank you so much. I'll have a blessed day.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks for calling.
You too, Lauren. Thank you so much for being our first caller this morning. If you have any general home improvement questions, we are ready to help. Send an email to fixit101@mpbonline.org. Lacey Alexander here with my friends Pam Pybus and Jeff Salmons. Today we're talking about adding on and also just taking whatever questions our callers and emailers have. Tim from Moss Point is on the line with a bathroom remodel comment. Tim, you are on the air this morning. How are you?
Oh, great. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
About 5 years ago, my wife and I, when we decided to retire, we bought a little cottage here in Moss Point, 2 bedrooms and bath and a half, and remodeled the whole house. So it's basically a new house, but in the main bathroom, the full bathroom, we put in a clawfoot tub with a shower attached to it. We want to take that tub out and make it a walk-in shower.
Okay.
And I'm not so much worried about the cost, but what I'm worried about or concerned about is how long would it take for a contractor to get in there and do that job? Because we have to be sponge bathing for a while till
right.
That's done.
So. Yeah. You know, rule of thumb in a bathroom remodel, I'm going to have every trade that I'm going to have on a building a house, basically. I'm going to have my tile setter, my carpenter, my painter, my sheetrocker. That's probably, Tim, a 6 week, 4 to 6 week project. Now, some things that help, a great deal, is if you and the wife or whoever is going to go pick everything out, get it picked out, get it delivered, everything that you possibly can, get it delivered to your house.
Fixtures.
Okay.
Yes. That way, we're not waiting on that one piece of bullnose that's 2 weeks out.
Gotcha. Now, I know... And this may not be a current problem, but I know there was some difficulty with getting supplies, access to supplies. Is that over now? Is it pretty easy?
For the most part, it is, you know, unless, you know, there's just some, you know, some weird tile that you cannot live without and they don't sell a lot of it. So it would be prudent to go ahead and get everything up front if you can.
Like if you're going to do a walk-in, are you going to do a shower door? If you're doing this, you might as well put a grab bar in, you know, your fixtures. Think about what you want on your fixtures. And if you've got all of that on site, it'll go a lot faster. And if all you're going to do is the shower and not, you know, if you've already redone everything 5 years ago and you're just taking the tub out and rebuilding a shower in there,
exactly.
You know, the thing that you got to think about, and there are some videos on YouTube that will show you how these showers are built. And it really is a matter of work, let it set.
Yep, that's right.
Work, let
it
set.
That's right.
So it's not like they're not showing up. It's like you got to give stuff time to kind of set up, and then you come back to it.
Yeah, because see, I'm sorry.
I can appreciate that. Years ago, I lived in Arizona, and they had this home makeover show on TV, and they built a house in 6 days.
Yeah.
So there was no resting, no setting.
Right.
I'm looking at that point. Hey, that's not a good situation.
It's not.
Because they didn't let anything set. So that 6 week, 6 week would be just with a shower, would that be a reasonable kind of expectation?
Yeah, it is. You know, it's like Pam said, once the shower's built, then they're going to come in and measure for your door. You know, that's going to take 5 days, 6 days to get that door in. And unfortunately, you can't order that door until your shower's built.
And let me give you, here's an idea.
There's not like a standard size.
No.
Just whenever you're doing something like that. But what I did on mine, because I took a tub out and put a shower in, and I saw this in a house, I just used glass block on my curb. So I have a door at one end and then my fixtures and everything at the other end. So there is no door.
Okay.
And it's wide enough. It's wheelchair accessible, you know, that type of thing. And if you do that without a movable part, and you can even, I've seen them using fixed glass right now, there is no door.
Gotcha. And the fact that we'd be using the existing plumbing, that probably shortens the process too, doesn't it?
No, because you got to reroute. I mean, you got to,
okay.
You're probably going to have to move some things.
Okay. Well, listen, I really appreciate it because I had no idea of what, you know, the length of a project, stuff like that. So that's very helpful. Thank you.
9 times out of 10, it takes longer and costs more.
Yeah.
I know how that goes.
That's as truthful as I can be, Tim.
Yeah, and especially when you're dealing with older houses. I mean, it's just, you just never know what's behind that wall.
Right. Okay. Well
thanks
for
calling.
Thank you, Tim. We hope we helped you out this morning. Let's go ahead and switch over to Warren in Jackson. Warren has been waiting patiently. He has a question about skylights and shades. Warren, you are on the air this morning. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
Hey, Warren, how are you?
I'm doing good. I got a question for either one of them. I'm going to put some skylight shades on my skylights and want to know if they came out with anything that's wireless where you can operate them where it goes up and down.
You know, I haven't seen that. I've seen the shades on there where they've got the little turn thing where you can turn them and open them, but I don't know about that. Surely they have.
Yeah, I want to say Velux makes a blind for their skylights. I would check that.
Okay, yeah, these are Velux.
Okay, yeah.
They have like a little motor with a, what do you call it, a little wheel that'll raise them and lower them. Okay, thanks, guys.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I'm sure they do in our handicap houses that we're building. We put the motorized blinds.
Nice.
So
on a skylight.
I haven't done it on a skylight, but.
You would think they would have
it. It's just a motor. It's all it is. It's a motor and a blind in the track.
Yeah, a moving part.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Warren. We hope we helped you out this morning. We're doing pretty good staying on topic about adding things and new stuff. But
Pam's normally the one that gets off topic.
Yeah.
It's not me.
There's a rabbit.
Right?
That,
is that right?
That's right. Listen,
okay,
there's no telling where I'll go in a conversation.
Hey, we haven't met our quota on pickleball comments yet, Pam.
Oh, yeah.
So you're doing better than usual.
Yeah.
Let me ask you both this. You know, we're talking about adding space, adding room. Adding stuff. When shopping for a home, though, what do buyers need to know they'll have the hardest time changing or adding? Like, if you're not happy with this, you may need to keep shopping.
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is the house orientation. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I mean, you're not going to change your backyard with the west sun.
No.
Coming in, you know, that kind of type thing.
Sure.
If you're gonna add, and you like what Jeff said, if you want to add a room to go up, you better talk to a contractor before you sign the paperwork, because you could end up to a really expensive project trying to add going up. And then, you know, I don't know
that. Now, the one that really gets me, and I've got to comment on it. I cannot take it. Is when people take their garage and turn it into a room. It's a horrible, horrible idea. It devalues your home. And again, the garage was built for housing your vehicles. It was not built to, I'm going to make a room out of it for someone to sleep in or play in.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I get it. People are probably... You know,
shaking
their fists right now. But Jeff, I need the room. I get that. I understand that. You might consider selling that house and getting one a little bigger taking in the garage for a room is not a good idea.
Is it just not insulated correctly? And
well, it's not insulated at all, for one thing. Mm-hmm. The concrete slab slopes down as it's supposed to. But the biggest thing is, when you get your house appraised, they're going to devalue because you don't have a garage anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not increasing even though you're increasing the footprint of your home, or not the footprint, but you're increasing the livable area of your home, you are decreasing the value.
Sure. Because why you don't car?
Yeah, well, I mean, like the house I live in, 1958, okay? And I've talked about this before. They took the carport. This is before I moved in. A carport became a den, a drop den for them.
But you added another carport.
Well, then they added, that's what I was going to say, but right. Then they added a carport, and then they added another carport.
I'm fine with that.
Now I've got a three-bay carport.
Nothing wrong with that at all.
And, you know, so if you're going to do something like that, and then like my neighbors, what they did is they used their garage for storage, and they built on a carport on the front of the garage.
Okay.
So it's like a shed roof, so you can pull a vehicle underneath it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So that you just have to think it all the way through on something like that. And, you know, you may want to talk to an appraiser or a realtor when you get ready to start doing a remodel project. You're going to be adding something.
Sure.
Talk to the experts, as you know, if you're thinking about value. Now, me, on the other hand, I've just been there. I've been there 30 years. I'm not going anywhere.
Sure.
So,
one day someone is going to sell your home.
Yeah, probably.
Someone's going to, that home is going to change hands one day.
Yeah, one of these days.
One sure. of the, yeah, I'm going to be dead. I don't care.
Hopefully longer than sooner, but those things change hands.
Yeah,
and
sure.
That's something to think about when you're doing these renovations.
Yeah, and, you know, when you're doing a renovation, folks, please keep in mind where the water's going. Mm. Don't be adding a room that blocks water drainage, because you're just going to buy yourself a whole lot of problems.
There you go. This is Fix It 101 on MPB Think Radio. I'm Lacey Alexander here with Pam Pybus and Jeff Salmons. Today we are talking about new stuff, new space, new rooms, new appliances, you name it. You can join the conversation with questions of new stuff or otherwise. Send an email to fixit101@mpbonline.org. As promised, we're going to go to Alan in Pearl, who has a question on decking decking on roof replacement question. Alan, what's going on this morning?
Hey, thank y'all for taking my call once again.
And, certainly.
This is a question for Pam and Jeff. I've been living in this house since 1980, and the decking is half inch, which, to my understanding, that's no longer, I think you have to have 5/8 and above now. But I've had to have, you know, because of Katrina and hail damage and all this, I've had 4 roofs put on my house. And the last time a roofer put a roof on, he said, well, you've got so many holes, you know, from previous nails and all in that half-inch plywood, the next time you may have to have new decking. And I know Jeff knows a good bit about if I ever have it done, I want some good deck and some good plywood. So do y'all have any comments about that?
You know, common build practice in this part of the country is oriented strand board. Now, is plywood better? It is. It's more expensive. But I don't have a problem with the oriented strand board.
And I think your roofer's right. I mean, roofs, yanking those. If you
That's
ever
right.
watch them take the shingles off of a roof, it is violent.
Yeah, yeah.
It is. So it will leave all kinds of holes. I see it all the time when I'm inspecting houses. I'll look up and I'm like, man, that decking don't look good.
Well, you know, everything is time dated.
It's got a shelf life.
That's right.
Yeah, so I'd go ahead and budget because normally what happens on an insurance claim is that they're not going to cover that. They're going to give you so much.
Well, unless it's damaged. If it's not damaged.
Yeah, if it doesn't have a hole in it from a
sure.
tree or a big old piece
that's
of,
right.
you know, sleet or hail, then, you know, that's on you.
Right. So the plywood you're talking about, Jeff, I should know this. I've been around this stuff forever. You're talking about the chipboard, the glue chipboard.
That's right. That's right. The slang is OSB.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I saw a plywood roof. I mean,
we just don't do it here because we don't have the snow load. Now, north, if you go north, the South Haven area, Memphis area, I think they're still using lumber.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
Because they get the ice and snow.
That's
and
right.
It'll cave in. It just doesn't have the load to hold that weight. Ice and snow is heavy.
Sure.
Mm. Right. Well, too, I just don't trust these nail guns. You know, I'm either a screw tight or an old hammer drill.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, and I forgot about this until you just said this. About, I guess it was probably 4 or 5 years ago, I did a whole house fire in Clinton. And the homeowner wanted to use their roofer. And 9 times out of 10, I'm going to say no. But I met this individual, and I really liked him. And so we mutually agreed to use this roofer.
Right.
And he said, now, look, Jeff, I don't use a nail gun. I said, come again? No, sir, we are not using it. And sure enough, they nailed every nail with a hammer.
Wow.
It was a sight to see.
I bet.
It really was.
And they were probably magnetic, you know, so they had a system where they pick the nail up, boom, pick it up, boom.
It was like a well-oiled machine to see those guys up there put this roof on without a nail gun.
Yeah. Yeah,
because that's the way mine was built back in the 80s.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they didn't, because a nail gun was heavy back then. Now they're, you know.
Yeah, wow.
You can hook them on your belt and go on up there and you know. That's listen to a roof go on, you know, pow, 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 pow.
Hey, I hope that helped.
Yes, sir. Thank you all again.
All right.
Thank you, Alan, for calling in this morning. We hope we helped you out. Let's go now to Lacey in Goshen. Hello, Lacey. She has a remodeling porch question. You are on the air this morning, and by the way, you have a lovely name.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. Listen, if it's okay, I've got 2 quick questions, and I won't take much time. I'll just tell you, a year ago, I bought a 1,000-square-foot house that sits on a bayou. And I've got an open porch on the back, but I really want to screen it in or something, but I don't know the best, most cost-efficient way to go about doing that where it looks good. And so I wanted some ideas about that, adding screens to that open porch. And the second thing is the front porch supports the roof, but it's wood and it sits on the ground. And I don't know how to get more air circulation under there without like major money, which I do not have. So any ideas about that?
Are you sitting on a slab or are you up on piers?
Up piers.
Okay, so you're up off the ground. I bet all those posts are going into the ground.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's the foundation of the home, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's worrisome.
Well, no. those are treated, they're built for that.
For that. Yeah.
Yeah. I just bought a house in Pas Christian, and it's the same way. The foundation is in the ground, and of course, and then up underneath the house is concrete. But let's answer the first question, the easy one first. Screening in the back porch is very simple. And if you're on a budget, go to one of your big box stores and buy a screen door. You can get them for $100. They're not the best quality that you would get or get your contractor to build you a nice screen door out of cypress. But try to get your panels, you know, about 4 feet apart and, screen it in, get you a good contractor, but, shouldn't cost much to screen that in, you know, unless it's just a big, huge porch.
And you can frame that in yourself. I mean, if you're handy and wanted to, you know, I mean, it's nothing to build the,
but
you
do,
just put your studs.
Do it in cypress now.
Yeah, I would do it in a treated, I wouldn't do it in pine at all. I mean, because you're just looking for it to rot in a couple of years.
Okay.
So, I hope that answered the question.
Yeah, because you can buy the screening.
Yeah, that does. Because I've seen it. I've seen some that look good and some that look really, really shoddy.
Yeah.
I'd rather better leave it alone than make it look really bad.
Well, are you going to hire this? Or are you going to try to do it yourself?
Well, I was hoping my husband and I could do it ourselves because we are on a very tight budget.
You can do it. Get on Pinterest or something and start looking at some ideas. Do you have the equipment, the saws, and so on?
Yeah, my husband's got a lot of tools.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, get your chop saw and
buy your screening.
Get some 2x4 cypress. And, of course, you're going to put a bottom plate down and then your top plate and then frame it in for your screen.
Yeah. Separate them to the length of the screen because there's nothing load-bearing here. You're just putting up a screen. And then you can get do they do a screen mold on cypress on the outside to cover the outside screen?
Yeah, we cut a piece of the 2x and use that as our screen. Now, there is a product out there. I love this product. You might want to explore this a little bit. It is called Screen Ease. Okay?
Okay.
And it's a male and female. So you nail the female strip onto your substrate, which will be your 2x4 or your 6x6 or whatever. And then you lay your screen over it. And you take the male piece, and it clicks in there. And when it does that, it tightens that screen.
Yeah. It actually attaches.
Yeah, and it is a great system. You can get it at just about any of your big box stores, or you can order direct.
Well, and that product would eliminate, because if you don't have that, and you're trying to stretch screen, that's what makes it look terrible.
It's a talent. Yeah. That's right. That's right.
But that makes it so much easier to do it that way.
Yep.
Excellent. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, on the front.
I've never heard of Screen Ease, but I will be looking at it now for sure.
Google it up. It's a great product. We use it all the time.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Lacey. We hope we helped you out this morning. All right. I want to welcome Marissa Vaughn. She is our newest employee. She's running board for us today. So if the show sounds bad, it is Marissa's
fault. It's Marissa's fault.
Hey, kudos to Marissa. She ran our microphone at the home show.
At the home show,
yes,
too.
She did.
Yeah.
You walked around with that little fuzzy thing and told people to talk it.
I did. It was very soft.
It was like a little gerbil.
You did a great job.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
I kept waiting for it to hit the ground and run off. It was just a little.
Well, thank you, Marissa, for running board for us today. I just wanted to formally welcome you to the fam.
Anytime.
Thank you. I have a quick email for Jeff. And it's from Mary. And Mary says, would you please repeat the product Jeff mentioned about bathroom setup anywhere near a 2-inch water line?
Oh, yeah. It's a drain line.
Oh.
Yeah, 2-inch drain line. It is called Santa Flow. I love them. I've installed many, many of them. It is a great product.
S-A-N-I-F-L-O-W.
I believe. Yep.
Yeah.
We're going to keep talking about new stuff, keep talking about fun stuff. You still have time to get your home improvement question answered. Send an email to fixit101@mpbonline.org. This is Fix It 101 on MPB Think Radio. I'm Lacey Alexander here with my friends, ASHI Certified Inspector Pam Pybus and Contractor Jeff Salmons from Houseworks. If you missed any of today's program, you can always listen back by podcast using any podcasting app or our MPB Public Media app. So we've been talking about adding on new stuff. Let's talk about adding on and adding new stuff to the outdoor area of your home. And Pam had a really good point during the break is we need to talk about ages and shelf life of a porch. When does the wood need to be replaced entirely instead of added to? Jeff and Pam.
Yeah, deck. And we were just talking about that. It just depends. You know, if you're in a shady area, the shelf life is not going to be as long. Because it's going to stay wet whenever it rains.
Well, again, I've said this many times. Wood rot occurs when you go wet, dry, wet, dry, wet, dry.
Mm-hmm.
If it stays wet all the time, it's fine. Or if it stays dry all the time. But when you mix those two, that's what causes. Because cypress logs have been in the river for, years.
Mm-hmm.
And we pull them out and they're perfectly fine. So, and the material that you use will play a big role in the life of that area?
One of the things I'm doing at my place is I'm replacing deck boards.
Okay.
As, you know, as they rot, I am replacing mm-hmm. them. And what I'm doing is I'm using Jeff's rule of thumb. I'm painting the board. I pick them up. I put them in my carport, and I give them about 2 or 3 weeks to dry out
yep.
because they've been treated. All right? So they're swollen, basically. So I'm going to let it dry out. Then I am going to treat that board on all six sides.
There you go.
I'm going to put it on the top, on the bottom, and on the ends, mm-hmm. and on the sides.
And remember, bark side out.
Yes. So there's a curve in the board. If you look at the end, there's either a bow up or a curve down.
And well, it doesn't necessarily have to be bowed. You'll see the rings
the
of
ring.
The tree.
That's, yeah, yeah, the ring and the tree.
That's right.
And so you want the ring, the apex of the ring...
Yes.
Needs to be going up. If you don't,
face up.
You're going to create little divots that will
right.
hold water in
That's
your
right.
in your deck. So there's yeah. some things to think about. I also have a YouTube thing on the. This just drives me. It drives me crazy. I'll go and look at a deck, and somebody's come in. You know, we were talking about nail guns a minute ago. Let's talk about a screw gun. So we're going to put decking down with a screw, and we're going to drive that screw halfway through that piece of wood. Well, now you've just created a hole, and that's where the water's going to sit, and that's where it's going to rot out. So what I do whenever I'm putting my decking down is, and let me, Jeff, we've talked about this before. One of the things I am doing is as I'm bringing my boards up, my subboards down underneath seem to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm flashing the top side of those.
Great idea.
I'm just coming in with
yep.
ice and water.
Okay. Yeah.
And just, it's a sticky product.
That's right.
Putting it along the top side of that board. And then
I don't have a problem with that.
Putting my deck board down.
Okay.
Then what I do is, because I'm a nerd, is I drill a tiny little hole to get my screw started.
Okay.
And then I take that screw and I go right down to the surface and I go no further.
Okay.
Well,
you know, the reason they do that is to hide that screw.
Yeah, well, it's a terrible idea.
Now, if you want to use a composite material... That's a 50-year shelf life, a 50-year warranty, I'll say. So that's another alternative if your budget will allow.
Yeah, but you can't patch with that in real wood because the thickness is different.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't want to. You'd want to go back with the composite.
Yeah.
Real quick, gang, sorry to interrupt. We've talked to a Lacey today. We also have a Pam on the line.
Oh, nice.
Pam in Fulton, you are on the air. What's going on? We got 2 minutes.
Hi, I was wondering if you could repeat the name of the screen kit you talked about earlier.
Screen Ease.
Screen Ease, like ease of install.
Yeah, like easy.
Okay.
Yeah, like easy, yeah.
Okay, E-A-S-E.
That's it. I wasn't going to try to spell
so
it. I'm not a speller. Don't ask me to do math or to spell.
Okay, thank y'all.
Yes, you
yes,
are
ma'am.
Welcome, Pam, in Fulton.
Bye-bye.
We've talked to a Lacey. We've talked to a Pam. If your name is Jeff, please call in next
yes,
week.
Yes, we
right.
need a...
I'm not getting any love over here.
We need a Jeff. But let me talk about decks for a second. We could do a whole show on decks. One of the things that you have to be careful with, folks, is the things where I see decks failing is under the deck. And if a deck is, for instance, if you build it to where it's screwed into the side of your house, and this is like in older houses... If you don't flash that to keep the water from going between where your rim board and the side of the house is, you're going to get water down in there, and it's going to rot. And you'll step out on that deck one day and go straight down because the hold on it will not be good. Also, keep in mind that screws have what we call a shear. So they're not really load-bearing. They're good for screwing down your deck board to the framing, but it's screws are really not meant to go horizontal to hold something up. You really want a nail there. So that's the biggest thing that I see. And then the stringer on the steps going up to the...
Right.
Don't set them on the ground, folks. Come on.
Thank you.
Because they're going to rot if you put them down there.
All right, we will leave you with that, with some deck advice from the sage Pam Pybus. Fix It 101 is a production of Mississippi Public Broadcasting Think Radio and is funded by generous contributions from listeners like you. Our board op is, like I said earlier, Marissa Vaughn. Our call screener is the lovely Jermaine Flood. For Pam Pybus and Jeff Salmons, I'm Lacey Alexander. Stay tuned for our Wednesday 10 a.m. program, Everyday Tech with Abram Nanny, and join us next Wednesday at 9 for Fix It 101 only on MPB Think Radio.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.